West Coast College Training, July 4th through 11th, Occidental, California. Title, Christ Our Portion. Morning Session 2, Message 4. Being burdened to gain people by taking up the leadership on campus. Scripture reading, Daniel 11:32, Acts 1:14, Philippians 1:27, 1 Timothy 2:1 and 3-4.
Christ is all and in all.
Amen.
Okay, second morning session, message 4, on effective gospel preaching and shepherding on the college campuses. So maybe if you want to take out this particular message. And maybe we can all read the title of the message together. Ready? Being burdened to gain people by taking up the leadership on campus. This is another ing word, right? Being. Being burdened to gain people by taking up the leadership on campus. And these address, in a way, two problems of ours. One is we have no burden. I just don't have a burden. I don't have a burden for people. I don't have a burden from the Lord. What is the Lord's burden? I don't know. Lord, give me a burden. I need a burden. I don't have a burden. Another problem is lack of coordination. And this is taking up the leadership on campus. How do we go about taking up the leadership on our respective campuses? So let's go ahead and go down to the bottom and read the focus all together. We must pray to pick up a burden to gain people by taking up the leadership on campus as part of a student nucleus. So we'll touch this matter of the student nucleus in a little bit. First, I wanted to concentrate on this matter of picking up a burden. So as point number one says, the Lord's up-to-date economy is to gain young people for His recovery. We must pray to be burdened with this commission. So we found out, you know, through Brother Dick speaking, his up-to-date economy is his plan to dispense nothing but Christ into us. His way for Christ to come with all of His processes. So He can become the processed and consummated pneumatic Christ. Amen. To get into us as a spirit. And His goal, which is to build up the body of Christ. So His economy, His up-to-date economy, which is all centered on Christ, is to gain young people. That's us and all our FCCs, right? Our friends, our co-workers, our classmates. We have a lot of FCCs. To gain young people for His recovery. How does He gain young people? Well, He gains young people by being their portion. When they receive Him, they get the 747 jumbo portion. So this is and then the rest of their lives are unlocking all the riches of the portion that they've received. So according to this, let's read Acts 26:16 and through 18. Yeah, Acts 26:16 through 18. Let's show brothers on 16, sisters on 17, all together on 18. Ready? But rise up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a minister and a witness, both of the things in which you have seen me and of the things in which I will appear to you. In their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. We're those that have been sanctified by faith and He wants us to be a minister and a witness. A minister is what we do. A witness is who we are. To what? To all our FCCs. A minister and a witness. This is a minister of our portion. A witness of our portion. And the way we do that is we pick up a burden for them. So you may say, I don't have a burden. I know a lot of you do have a burden. I'm not saying you don't. But I just want to give you a simple speaking on way to get a burden from the Lord. First, he wants to open our ears. So for the Lord to open our ears, we have to consecrate ourselves to Him. So I know you all know the account in Exodus 21, verse 5 and 6. If the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. The master shall bring him to God and shall bring him to the door or on the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. So, we must consecrate ourselves to the Lord. I know the brothers had a wonderful time of consecration last night, and now we're ready to listen to the Lord. He just wants us to listen to Him. Also, we need to open our eyes to see the Lord. And when we see the Lord, His light shines in us. We see who we are. And we have a prayer. Lord, here I am. I know that I'm not fitting and useful. I am natural, wild, and raw. I've never been cooked, processed by you. I'm even sinful, worldly, and fleshly. Lord, in order to use me as your bond slave, you must deal with me. I need your dealing. I need your cooking. Lord, I open myself to you. But I do not depend on my opening. I depend on your exposing. Bring me into your light. Shine over me. Shine within me. Shine through me thoroughly, that I may be fully exposed. So the Lord wants to expose us. And through this exposing, He wants to purge our sin so that we can be those that see Him. And when we see Him, we'll see the burden and we'll pick it up. Just like now I can see the table. Before I didn't see it. Now I see it. What do? Do I pray to pick it up? Oh, pick up the table. Lord, help me pick up the table. Lord, I want to pick up this table. Lord, be my strength to pick up the table. Oh, well, you know what? You just pick it up. Now I see it. Now I can pick it up. No problem. But we need to see. So, this matter of a burden. There's two groups, brother from Phoenix and a sister from Diamond Bar that have picked up a burden on their campus. Could we have them come up and share a little testimony with us?
My name is Tim, and I went to Arizona State University, Arizona. I remember, you know, the first time I had the burden for campus was when all of the students were gathered together, and we were notified that the serving ones, the full-timers, the majority of them were not going to be with us for this next year. So this really stirred something in me. The Lord was really working that, you know, for us students, this is our campus. You know, this is the work that we should be doing. And through the training that that went on that summer, and through the college training, some of the students came back, and there was such a burden that the students would spearhead the work on the campus, and all the saints and the whole body would support. So before the semester began, we all gathered at a brother's house, all the students, and we just prayed for the campus. Pray for the matter of, you know, we need a spearhead to work on the campus. And out of this came that there needs to be a nucleus that needs to be formed. And so, you know, we didn't know what we were doing.
you know, we shared this with the serving ones, and we just came together. So this past year, every Saturday, we would come together for coordination for a praying time. And we just realized in the beginning, you know, we need to pray for the campus. This is what we need to do first. So we picked up the burden just to pray, for the campus. And as we went on, we realized, you know, there needs to be some new ones. We need to go out and contact people. And so this summer, praise the Lord that, you know, He showed us that we need to just go out to the campus and just contact people and preach the gospel and let them know, you know, this wonderful Christ that we have. So with the help of the serving ones and with all the prayers, we've been going out on Friday mornings. And we've been going out to just preach the gospel. And there's so many ones that are open on the campus at ASU. And, you know, it's really encouraging to see, you know, this is just summer class. This is just the students in the summer. And, you know, during the regular semester, there's so many students on campus that we can go out and contact. So, you know, and, you know, I feel that the Lord is really speaking this weekend. So all the students that we do need to go out. You know, there's a burden for us to go out and just preach the gospel.
I'm from Cal Poly Pomona, and this year the Christian students at Cal Poly really felt that they felt the burden to take the lead of the club on campus. This all started last summer when we had like a student retreat right the week before school started on taking the leadership on campus. And really a group of students really felt burdened that we have to stand up right for our club and our Lord on campus. So during the summer we were having a prayer time once a week, and the students decided that it would be a good idea to continue this prayer time throughout the school year so we can better coordinate the activities of the club. So every quarter before the school, the class started, we would get together and kind of fellowship on what was the best day and best hour so that most of us could make it to the meeting. And during this time, we just prayed over the Bible study. We prayed over any burdens for any friends or members of our family that we had, and just over the campus, the Lord's movement on the campus. Also during the Bible study, more students started standing up and just reviewing the material in order to give guidance to those students at the beginning of the Bible study. And we also helped plan the spring break trip this year. And it was just so sweet to do all these things because it really helped unite us. It wasn't anymore an individual pursuit of the Lord, but it was a corporate enjoyment of Christ. And just the students in the club really just united. Like, we're like one little family on campus, and we see each other and we just can't help but like smile. And it's so beautiful what the Lord has done in us this year.
Amen. Let's all read point A together. Amen. Don't you want to be living
Amen.
And flourishing?
Amen.
When you pick up this burden, this will increase your pursuit of the Lord.
Yeah.
When you have this burden, you will be living.
Amen.
You won't be dead.
Amen.
And you'll be effective and flourishing. You won't be ineffective. There's a verse here that's in Revelation 3:1 through 2. Well, I'll just say 3:1. It says, "These things says He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are living, and that you are dead." You know what the answer to this church was? They had some works, but they were living, but really they were dead. So the Lord was the seven spirits to make them intensely living.
Amen.
And the seven stars to make them intensely shining.
Amen.
So He wants to be intensely living and intensely shining. But for that, we need to pick up a burden. This will cause us to pursue the Lord. A couple examples. There was some saints at Cal Poly Pomona in the early 90s, and some trainees had visited their campus, but because they didn't bear any fruit the semester they were there, they decided not to go there anymore. And so this made the students that were there a little unhappy and realized, oh man, the trainees left. There was no fruit. What are we going to do? We need to rise up to take this burden of bearing fruit on the campus. So six of them got together every week to start praying and picked up the burden to preach the gospel on the campus. And eventually the Lord gave them that year 10. So, and then one of the sisters that helped pick up the burden, she married one of the 10. So you pick up the burden, the Lord will take care of you. You know, don't worry about so many other things. Just pick up the burden of the Lord. He will arrange everything. I know there's a lot of fellowship yesterday. So, also there was a brother, some saints that just had a burden. They wanted to contact people. And there was some going out door knocking. There was some going to parks or some doing things. And they decided, one decided just to open up the white pages and go down all the names, name by name, and call. Hello. Hi, I'd like to talk to you about the Lord. Are you interested? Hi. Hi, I'm a Christian. Hi. And they went down the names in the white pages. It seems like it's crazy. What if somebody in your group of saints you fellowship with said, you know what? Let's just start calling people. Oh, that's so ineffective. What says, without a burden, we'll be dead and ineffective. But with a burden, we'll be living and flourishing.
Amen.
If we have a burden, whatever we're doing, we'll be living and flourishing. So eventually they called one house, someone answered, and he was very open, and he invited them over, and then the whole family eventually came to the church life, and then the extended family, some of them came to the church life. And Brother Robert's here today. I don't know if you know Brother Robert, but it was his family was called by the saints just picking up the phone to contact some people. But they had a burden. You don't know what'll come from a burden. You think you're just touching one person. But with touching one person with a burden, you can touch many people. We'll talk about the clusters tomorrow. But that's exciting. You can touch so many people with one if you have a burden. It'll be living. That's a living burden. So, let's see, point one, let's all read that together. We feel responsible. Do you think about it in your sleep? We feel responsible if it does not succeed. I mean, this is a big matter of responsibility. You feel like there's a weight, you know? I think some of us run a little bit from responsibility. We don't want the responsibility. But responsibility is so sweet. It's so rewarding. There's a reward in our responsibility. But, you know, just like a businessman, I was talking to a brother that has a business, you know, he even counts the days in a month he can work. I mean, we just think, oh, 5 days in a week, you know, I clock in to the job, I clock out, I have so many hours, I have to work a week, you know, yada, 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 I just go to my job. But if you own the business, man, I have 27 days this month. I got to accomplish so much in the 27 days, so many sales. And when the customers come to me, I have to know where they're from, to know what they normally order. And how they came to me. I gotta know what advertising got them. Was it a commercial? Was it my commercial? Was it the newspaper ad that I sent out? Cause I gotta know. Cause if profit came from the newspaper ad, I gotta put more money there. Or maybe this month, I only have 24 days. I can work this month because I take off on Sundays. You know, 24 days. So I have to work longer hours this month because February's only got 28 days. You know, you're counting up how much you have to, because it's your responsibility. How much vacation time? Oh, let's see. 2 days I can take in 5 years. It's my responsibility. So It's your business. You feel responsible. And this is a matter of our faithfulness. We just want to be, let's all recite Colossians 1, 2 together. To the saints in Colossae, faithful brothers, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We want to be the faithful brothers in Christ. We can be those that are faithful. You know, my parents owned a business and my dad was up every night. He had a regular job and then he did this other business job. He would stay up all hours in the night. And I was so disheartened. I didn't know why he was doing that all the time. I was just trying to suffer. But he had a business. Oh Lord, no doing, no gaining. So a burden isn't just like clock in and like clock out. So let's all read point two. The burden means we have a goal which we must reach. So no goal, no burden. We need to have some specific goals, even with the Lord. Goals that we would reach so we can also see, you know, our results. Are we making profit? What do we need to change? What are we not doing? We need to set goals. I would say also, you know, we shouldn't exclude ourselves from this. That we're too young, that we don't know enough of the truth, that we don't have enough experience of life. But all of us can be so useful to the Lord when we have a burden from the Lord. Let's read point two. The only way to carry out a dynamic, powerful, and prevailing gospel work on any college campus is to form a nucleus of students that can take up leadership on that campus. Okay, nucleus. I know we've heard about the nucleus. A lot of us are actively participating with a burden. The nucleus, I'm going to go ahead and write nucleus here. Whoa. Okay, the definition of nucleus is directing the growth. I hope you can see this back there. It's not that big, but directing the growth. A nucleus directs the growth of the cell. Not just directs the growth of the nucleus, but directs the growth of the cell. We're interested in not just going to save, you know, that people get their sins forgiven, but they would grow. And we would be so desperate. Lord, you haven't had this experience yet. You bring it to the nucleus. The nucleus helps direct the growth of the other members. Growth, metabolism. You know what metabolism is, right? You know the process. Sometimes you got to help the other members of the cell process certain things. You know, you don't want to get stuck. I don't know if there's an example of a baby getting something stuck and it's something just won't process. Got to help push it out. Sometimes, you know, with some, you got to help them process certain things. They go through certain crises in their life. You have to help them metabolize it. The Lord. Metabolism and... Let me change colors here. There you go. Reproduction. And functioning. Amen for functioning. We all can function. In the transmission. Of genic characters. Directing the growth, metabolism, and reproduction. Bear much fruit.
Amen.
And functioning in the transmission of the genic characters. There are genic characters within us. The Lord is dispensing, that He wants us to transmit to others. And this is the function of a nucleus. So, Brother Lampstand will touch this a little more. And there are some very practical things concerning the nucleus that we'll touch on. Let's read point A. Preaching the gospel is a work for the entire body. We should not do the gospel work in an individualistic way, but must do it in the body. In the body. I know, maybe there's been some good and bad experiences some of you have had with starting to get related to others in this matter of being in a nucleus. Being coordinated with others, praying with others. We have to do it in the body, and we have to realize that the Lord is sovereign in His arrangement of every single member He places us in the body next to. You know, maybe you don't get along or you don't understand someone so well, another member. Maybe you wish it was someone else in another locality that was next to you. But the Lord is sovereign. He's placed you as a member in the body, and we can't work in an individualistic way. The way He's given us to carry out this burden, this commission, is in the body. So we've been placed on certain campuses next to certain brothers, that you may like or not like so much. Certain sisters you may get along with or not get along with so much. But really, we should deal with the Lord concerning this, that the Lord would really blend us with Him. So we can pray, fellowship, and coordinate with an atmosphere of mutuality and enjoyment. This is the kind of atmosphere we like to have in a nucleus. It's enjoyment, mutuality. And based on this, could we have the brothers from Brother Allen from Irvine and Jerry from Marietta speak on mutuality coming together?
Hallelujah. My name is Allen. I'm from Irvine. And I'd just like to share the experience of this mutuality. And then at Irvine, at the beginning of the year, we had this incoming freshman, and then one of the freshmen came into our coordination time, and he said, "Why is this time so awkward and so tense?" And then, we're just like, "Oh Lord, right? Like, it's always when we come to," and I realize that when we come together and coordinate, it's always a few people that are always praying. It's always the same people that are praying. It's always the same people that are, answering the questions or responding. This has been a great burden for a lot of the brothers in Irvine to bring out the function of the saints, especially these ones that attend coordination regularly. So I don't know how the Lord did it. It was probably through much prayer, but I could testify that the coordination meetings by the end of this year are glorious. By the Lord's mercy, he's been building us up together, both the brothers and sisters. And we've become this genuine nucleus, right? And so the aspect is this matter of burning in spirit. Amen. I don't know. I just enjoy just trying to flame other students' spirit into flame, Just and then when you flame their spirits into flame, they're exercising, you get nourished as well. So then you become on fire as well. So I just enjoyed that. And I guess I'll end, with a charge to all the freshmen or anyone who doesn't go, to the coordination meetings. If you want to, like the brother said, if you want to go to the third heavens, right, come to the coordination meetings.
My experience, it was actually after the college training in 2007. I went back, and I was the only student in that campus, and I was burdened. I was burdened for to spread the word. And I was really excited, but I got kind of distracted with my classes, and nothing didn't happen. The next year, another brother started going to that campus, and we started praying together. We started praying for new ones, for the gospel work at the campus, and not much didn't happen. Like, we were kind of passive. But the third year, praise the Lord, for there's a sister who was really burdened. And after the third college training, it was 2009, right? The Lord made the arrangements. She started going to that campus, and we have a there was a lot of prayer behind the local churches around. There was a lot of prayer for that campus, and the Lord made the arrangements for us to have a table. And you guys probably heard the last conference. I shared that the first 2 weeks, 100 students signed up for the Christians club, and there's only three of us. So we're like, oh Lord, what are we gonna do? So we had the welcome dinner, and only six showed up. We prayed for the real seeking ones. And, amen. Anyways, they keep coming to the meetings. We were having twice a week Bible studies on campus. And there's no full-time trainings because Murrieta is kind of far. It's like an hour from Anaheim. With traffic, like 2 hours. And I was like, oh, will be awesome. There will be some full-time trainees. But that was the flesh, because by us taking care of the new ones, we obligated to get into the Word in order to feed them. So that's one of the highlights, because we have to care. There's no elders, there's no older brothers involved, so we had to get into the Word in order to feed them. So praise the Lord.
That's right. You know, that reminded me, when before parents have a baby, I'm about to have a baby. My wife is, I know I don't look like it. And my wife is 7 months pregnant, and you know, you just think about all the things that come with a baby, you know, like, it's going to be 24/7, and you know, I have to, if it's sick, I got to take care of it. If it's hungry, I got to take care of it. And if I don't feel like taking care of it, I got to take care of it. But there's a great reward. Amen. It's the love for that baby. No one can experience that but you. If they don't have a baby, they don't know what it's like. You can't even explain it. But there's a love within you for a new one. When you're taking care of it, you may feel like, oh, it's such a big responsibility. But the reward is so great. I was reminded about that. Well, let's just read point B and C together. And this is with this view of when we come together, you know, we don't have to do a lot. We shouldn't be concerned so much about discussing or talking, but exercising our spirit and getting into the mingled spirit. So let's read point B and point C.
Since the word nucleus, you couldn't find it in the Bible, I don't think so. But the principle is in the Bible. Matthew chapter 28:18, when after the Lord was resurrected, right? And he mentioned to the disciples, said that, I have received all the authorities, right, from the heavens and on the earth. And now go and disciples the nation and baptize them into the name of the triune God, right? But even though he said, go, but right after that, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he said, wait. Did you ever notice that? In Matthew chapter 28, he said, go. Then in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he said, wait. Let me read that verse to you. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And he met together with them. He charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. So, you know, after listening to all the sharing, right, started from Tuesday, our first meeting on this line, you know, we found a target now. Let's go! Right? Are you clear with the target? Right? And then yesterday about the all-inclusive shepherding, you know what to do now. Let's go. But we need to know in what way we should go, right? And that's why the Lord asked them to wait. And of course, we know the story, right? And they went back, actually, to Jerusalem. Verse 12 said that then they returned to Jerusalem. And to do what? They went up to the upper room to pray. And saints, I just really appreciate, I smell the fragrance of your consecration last night, both from the brother's side and from the sister's side. And I think the Lord is really satisfied. And the Lord will honor all your consecration. And these disciples, they did the same. You know, they left their hometown, they left their relatives and their friends to be in the upper room, right? What? Of course, they are not just, we know what they are waiting for the outpouring of the Spirit, right? But we know they are not sleeping there waiting, not passive waiting. What did they do? In verse 14 said that these all continue steadfastly with one accord in prayer. And so that is the need of the nucleus. Nucleus were formed through their praying together. Right? We knew there were 120. But we know that the original 11 apostles that was ordained by the Lord, appointed by the Lord, they were there. Eventually, they make up the other one because Judah was disqualified, right? And we don't want to be the disqualified one. And but anyway, that 12, eventually when Peter stood up to speak, Peter, the verse said, Peter stood up with the other 12. He, even though it was him that speak, but it was the nucleus that speaking, right? Even though there were 120, but among these 120, there are 12. They are the nucleus. Function like for directing the growth, their metabolism and reproduction, and so forth, right? The function of the nucleus. And so there is this principle of the nucleus in the Bible. Another example in Acts 13, in the church in Antioch. I don't believe that in the church in Antioch at that point only had five brothers. But it mentions that these five brothers by name, that they were ministering to the Lord and fasting and praying. Who are they? They are the nucleus of the church in Antioch, right? They are blended together, they are built up together, and they bear the burden together. Okay, another word I just want to point out real quick before I go on with the points. Is Roman numeral 2 about the matter of leadership. Saints, the word of leadership in the Lord's recovery means quite different than what outside meant. And even what Christian in general meant. Leadership is not by being appointed. And that's what I have noticed in other Christian group on college campuses. You know how they get you to be burdened? You freshmen, they recruit you. Right away, they say, you are the Bible study group leader. And at UCLA, they have a dorms floor. Then they are right away, you're a freshman, right? And you seems like you have some potential there. Let me appoint you. I'm from university. Appoint you to be the floor Bible study group leader. Whoa, don't you want that? You want position, right? And then you try to use your talent, use your whatever you have, your, you know, try to do something for the Lord. That is not what we are talking about. And in the Lord's recovery, in the church life, nobody appoint you. Nobody give you position. Because all position give to Christ. Christ is the first place, right? First place means what? Every place. Right? If he has the first place, you don't have second place. Neither Paul, nor Peter, right? He has the first place means he has all the places. All place went to him. We don't have position. How can we give you position? That's what Brother Nee said. What are you looking for, position? No one appoint me. How can I appoint you? Right? Amen. But how, what this leadership means in the Lord's recovery, in the church life, in the Bible, right? It just means that a group of believers, they received a burden from the Lord, right? And they have been constituted with life, and they just have the burden. They have the function. And they took the lead. And this leadership is not individual. And this leadership is not permanent. Right? Through the book of Acts, we knew that at the beginning, during the Pentecost, Peter took the lead with the others. Right? Then later on, when Peter became weak, Barnabas took the lead. And even when Barnabas and Paul went out, Barnabas took the lead at the beginning. But very soon, Paul took the lead. Did you ever notice that when you read the Bible in Acts 13, when they went out, first mentioned Barnabas and Saul. But later on, two chapters later, it mentioned Saul and Barnabas. The reason of the switching of the name, it indicates who took the lead. But they took the lead in the principle of four living creatures. Have you remember that from last year? There's a demonstration, right? And we are in the leadership, but we are not necessarily the leader all the time. If the Lord commissioned you more, giving you more burden, you see more, you took the lead, right? But that doesn't mean that you took the lead forever, right? And some other time, the other members have the burden from the Lord. Then you have to go sideways or go backward, right? Praise the Lord, we can have this kind of coordination. Amen. As a leadership in the Lord's recovery. Amen. And this is what the Lord wants to recover. Okay, let's go on now to point D. How about read it together? Okay, this point, after that, you know, there's 1, 2, 3 under D, mainly show us what should we do or what do we do when we meet together as a core or as a nucleus. One, I will read. We should always pray together. Amen. Brothers and sisters, how about we emphasize that? We should always what?
Pray
together. The primary matter that we should attend to is
prayer.
1 Timothy 2:1 said, first of all, pray. First of all, pray. Brothers and sisters, when we think about nucleus, student spearheading the campus work, I believe many of you in your head is thinking about student committee, agenda. You know, what can we talk about? What can we do? That is not first. That will be, you will see where they come in the sequence. Prayer is the first. Right? First of all, pray. I know some of the student coordination, when you first come together, you only pray for 3 minutes and try to talk about certain things for 2 hours. Right? Eventually, nobody agree with everybody and you left, you feel like, boy, I'm not going to come again. No, that is the wrong concept. If you have that, better go to the Lord, repent. Amen. First of all, what?
Pray.
Pray harmonizes. Right? And pray, what else it can do to us? Pray allow us to be headed up in Christ. And prayer, through prayer, we give Him the preeminence. And through prayer, we turn to our spirit. Right? And point two, we should always fellowship with one another. Okay, fellowship with one another. Fellowship is not the substitution of discussion. Okay? The fellowship with one another. You know what the Bible meaning of the word fellowship? It's common participation. Right? And let me read you this little note here. Okay. The Greek word means joint participation, common participation. Fellowship here indicates a putting away of private interests and a joining with others for a certain common purpose. Not your preference. Not your, you know, view. But we put away our own private interests and joining with others for a certain common purpose. What is our common purpose? This common purpose, not just us, our purpose, but this common purpose should be also God's purpose. This common purpose should be also including apostles' purpose. This purpose should be also including the purpose of Apostle Paul. Whoever they're, you know, used by the Lord, they, we should all have the same common purpose. This common purpose is what? First is to, is that the believer will grow in life, will live a life of divine, in the divine righteousness and the divine love, and to overcome the world, death, sin, devil, and idols. And the second purpose, common purpose, is that the local churches be built up as the lampstands for the testimony of Jesus and consummated in the New Jerusalem. This is our purpose. Amen. This is our common purpose. Don't you want to live Christ?
Amen.
Don't you want to live a life that can express God?
Amen.
Magnify Christ?
Amen.
Right? That overcomes sin, Satan, world, idols? Don't you want to see the church being built up and being raised up in many areas? That is our common purpose, right? Okay. So how do we fellowship? Simply by sharing our enjoyment with one another. In this point, I would like to say, when you come to the coordination, I know many of you are quite burdened. You have the heart for the Lord. So that's why I want to share this with you. When you come to the coordination, just don't come empty-handed. Even you, how about you come with a song that you enjoy that week? How about you come with a verse that you got enlightened by the Lord? Or a little portion of the ministry that you enjoy that week? How about that? You come with a little something. And then what? You feed each other. And you know what? That is how we fellowship with one another. Let the life of the Lord flow in and flow out in mutuality to one another. Then point three, we should always make decisions as a nucleus. Yeah. And so in this point, if you look at verse Acts 15:25, it's that it seems good to all the brothers. Yeah. So it is a matter of not one person's feeling, but it's through much fellowship and prayer, it seems good. It seems good. There's just a peace on the decision. Okay, how about point E? Read together, huh? How about we have a sister from Cyprus, Ruth? How about you share your testimony? While she is sharing, listen to her sharing. I try to draw something here. Don't be distracted by my drawing. I need to redeem my time a little. So.
Praise the Lord, saints, from Cyprus College. And we've all heard about the coordination times, and two semesters ago, Cyprus College started their student coordination time. And we all got the burden from the conferences that we need to participate in the college in the coordination times. And this became even my vision and a lot of us in Cyprus College to participate in the in this coordination time. And last semester, I just consecrated, one of the meetings I consecrated to going regularly was the coordination time. But soon enough, I got really discouraged because I was the only sister going. So at first, I don't know, I'll just like speak to the Lord. Like sometimes I'll be actually angry because I'll call them off, text them, and they'll say, no, I'm busy and that. And I'm like, oh Lord, am I not busy too? But then the Lord was so merciful, and he actually, he was so merciful, and the sister started coming. Actually, there was a sister that was even having a hard time going on with the Lord, and she started coming to the coordination meetings. And actually, like a newly saved person on campus started coming to the coordination meeting. So, this was a real salvation. And, we also, about just having them coming to participate. And there was also the aspect of like, once we were just, and the sisters were hanging out, and one of the sisters said, Ruth, you have to teach me to function like you, because when you leave, what are we gonna do? And I was like, oh Lord. This just made me realize that it wasn't just me working on the campus, but we have to also be burdened to bring others into the function in the coordination meetings. Because the goal of the coordination meetings is for the Lord's move on the campus. It's not for me to just do something and then leave it to die when I go, but for all the whole students to participate. And this was really good because we, all of us caught a burden for that, especially the older ones that are transferring. We started praying and we started kind of like having other people function too and get involved. And actually there was a sister, the new sister, she actually suggested to us that we should make something to thank the saints for their service to us throughout the whole semester. And this just changed everything because we got coordinated so much in prayer and even in practical service and like providing a dessert table and like just everything for the celebration meeting. And it was something like unusual, like we've never done that before. We just had like a portion to provide like to in participating in preparation for the coordination meeting, celebration meeting. It was so glorious. And I just enjoyed how the students are getting more and more involved, those students that remaining students, and it's like really enjoyable. And even this summer, we are continuing in prayer and continuing in coordination to get all the students to keep going on in the coordination meetings for the Lord's move on the campus. Praise the Lord!
Here, our sister touched a very good principle here. Look at this. This is a cell, whatever cell it is. And then inside circle here is a nucleus, right? Those who are burdened. And they are not individual. They're already in two and threes, right? And two or three years ago, we started to fellowship with you about two and threes. And you surely enjoy that. You know, they brought in the vitality. But these two and threes can form a nucleus. And they bear the burden for the work on the campus. And let's say this is the campus, the existing student on your campus, they are saints, but not every saints, not every student have the same burden as some of you, right? And they might be still outside this nucleus. And in the past, we faced this problem. Either one or two students, they are really burdened, they are capable, and after they left and graduate, and you almost feel like, you know, we cannot fill the gap. You know, there's we need to start over again, right? Or a group of seniors that are really strong and then they graduate and you just feel like, woo, there's a gap there. And I'm not sure who can repeat that. And no, that's why we need the nucleus. And with the nucleus, this is not a closed nucleus. You need to have a view, bring some of this, our own students, into it, right? I will encourage some of you, you may not really see what is going on, even after listening to these messages. You just present yourself there. Amen. If you are faithful, you will pick up the burden. Amen. I've seen that happen, even with the new ones. A new brother, he just newly got saved, right here. Through the two and threes, he got saved. Eventually, very short time, he got brought into here. Within a short time, he just picked up the burden, just like our sister testified, right? A new one can also be included in the nucleus. So what happened? If this group of two and threes, they graduate, it doesn't matter. You know, even another one graduate, it doesn't matter because there are more people being brought in into that coordination, into that fellowship, right? So that's why we fellowship with you, the upperclassmen yesterday. You need to be the pattern, right? Amen. But anyway, for the sake of time, how about read F together? We need to have a clear goal. Even though this is for the college campus with the student taking the lead, brothers and sisters, we are not here to intend to establish any campus church. No, no. Everything is for the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Whatever we do, right? And it's in a good coordination. If your team has, if your campus is a full-timer, you are in good coordination with them. Good fellowship with them. If there is no full-timer, you have a good fellowship and connection with the brothers and sisters in the church. Right? Everything is for the church.
Amen.
Church is God's desire. It's not just a small campus work. Right? But the campus work is for the increase of the church. How about we read point G together? Well, just related to this point, we maybe have a brother from LA to testify, and then I will speak a little bit more then to conclude this session.
Jesus, in the beginning of the year, LA at UCLA, we had a glorious problem. Coming from the summer the college training, a lot of students were burdened to pick up the campus work. And coming into the first coordination meeting, what we prayed is that this year would be the best year ever. And those were the exact words. But in that first coordination meeting, we were talking about welcome dinner. I was very lost and very discouraged because most of the time we were just discussing how many circles should be in, how many circles of chairs should we have? How many chairs in those circles should there be? What song should we sing? We were discussing this for for an hour. And there was no time left for prayer, and very little time was allotted to prayer. But praise the Lord, we're learning. We're learning that even though we have a burden, there needs to be a oneness. And this oneness doesn't come from just convincing everyone of the same thing for them to nod their head, but it's through prayer, and it's through the Spirit. And also in LA, we're really privileged to have full-timers. And we realize that the student's work is not separate from the full-timer's work. And that's why during our student coordination time, we always have full-timers there. And so that their burdens would be our burdens, and our burdens would be their burdens. We would always be on the same page. And at one point, some of the full-timer brothers grabbed some brothers and asked us that we need to meet beforehand, a couple brothers before the big student coordination. And this is just to get into the Spirit first, so that when we go into the big coordination, we just present. This week we have Bible study. We pray. Amen. And I just want to share some practical and specific examples that when we are in oneness, the Lord is really faithful, especially in bearing fruit. And we had at a college conference, we had a sister who was really impressed by the matter of baptism. But she had some doubts if this was the right time. And the sisters were just texting everyone that we need to pray for the sister. And they were just encouraging her. And all the brothers were in the back just praying. And all of a sudden, while we were praying, they just asked us to run because she was ready to get baptized. And another time, another brother, Mark, he texted our small group that this brother was had a problem with his family because he wanted to get baptized. And we just prayed. We just prayed that this family would be open. And it's not just the students standing as one, but it's also the body. Because in that Lord's Day, he was ready to get baptized. And in the last 3 weeks of school, we had a new one who was really attracted to the brothers. And in that same week, he was already impressed by baptism. And the week before finals week, we were all just praying. All the students were praying together and really burdened that this brother would get baptized. And one night after small group, even the students from Cal State Norridge, we just gathered around a swimming pool, and this brother was baptized. Man, we just realized that nothing is more convincing, attractive, and prevailing than the oneness.
Well, just a last point here. You know, when we gather together, when like college students, you probably will experience some offenses, right, and opinions, and also maybe lack of burden. And you may look at them, oh, these come together, you know, I'm not in the all-star team. You know, there's no, what? Kobe Bryant in this team. I tell you, the Lord Jesus, beside him, his team, has no Kobe Bryant there. And Peter is not a, you know, star. And only the Lord Jesus is the star. Amen. As long as we're willing to give ourselves to coordinate, the Lord will have a way. Amen. So just a few practical points to take note is that don't insist on your feeling and your opinion. And always have an attitude of respect, cooperative and coordinating with others. And be faithful with what the Lord has entrusted you. At the same time, learn to work in coordination with others. And also not criticize, but speak positively and labor positively.